Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome today, and glad you guys are with us. We're going to have an exciting call. This program, not a call. I keep calling it a call, but actually it's a program. We're going to do that. So let's start off by saying, please go to Wiser Living. That's WEISERLiving.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll be informed when a new video is updated. You can also get access to our radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, which you're on at presently, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all the articles, programs, and services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, ferments, and products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. I really appreciate that. So check us out at wiserliving.com. Subscribe at the Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us if you're on Facebook. Like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living. And you can also contact us at Google Plus, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And there'll be a few other ones probably in the next week or two. So stay tuned for that. Okay, this is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast today. I know your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful, as always, for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience. Okay. Wow. You have undoubtedly heard of the word genetically modified organisms. You know, some people call them genetically engineered organisms. Either way, GMOs are foods whose genetic makeup has been re-engineered, altered, or modified to give them different traits than those they started out with. You know, some GMO crops have been designed to survive in tandem or alongside certain pesticides. Other GMO crops have been engineered so they don't produce seeds, which forces farmers to buy engineered seeds over and over again from a single location. The United States Department of Agriculture estimates that, and this is alarming, they estimate that 94% of all soy, 93% of corn, and 96% of the cotton grown in the U.S. is genetically engineered. So what does that translate into? Well, that means you could be eating GMOs in your bread, in your cereal, and your packaged cookies and cakes and many other foods that contain soybean oil, corn oil, and high fructose corn syrup. And that's just to name a few. You know, many biologists, scientists, public health officials, and consumers, consumer advocates, they believe we should completely avoid GMOs, and here's why. According to the Academy of Environmental Medicine, animal studies they link GMOs to organ damage, gastrointestinal disorders, immune system disorders, accelerated aging, and infertility. Now, one reason this may be occurring, for example, is because genetic materials that actually inserted into the soy plant can transfer into the DNA of bacteria we already have lining or living inside of us, you know, lining our guts inside of us, not to mention all of the bacteria that's on our body. And that's why public health associations opposed to the use of genetically modified bovine growth hormone because milk from cows that have been given this hormone contains more IGF-1 or insulin growth factor 1, which is linked to cancer. And like other plants, GMOs cross-pollinate. And when the wind blows, their seeds can travel. And farmers trying to grow crops organically or with non-GMO seeds have reported in the past that their fields have been contaminated through the natural cross-pollination that occurs when GMO seeds go airborne. So here's the problem with that. Once GMOs are present in a field, any field, they are almost impossible to get rid of. And another reason is that most GMO crops are engineered so that they are not susceptible to particular herbicides. For example, many GMO crops are resistant to an herbicide produced by Monsanto called Roundup. As a matter of fact, there's this term, Roundup Ready. You know, and as a result of this, it appears that farmers are using more Roundup to control their weeds than they previously did because the weeds, or these super weeds, are becoming resistant to it. So increased pesticide use becomes a hazard to your health. Then there are the unpredictable side effects. You know, some scientists worry that the process of creating genetically modified plants could lead to new allergens, carcinogens, nutritional deficiencies, as well as toxins that they are unprepared to confront. You know, there are already over 75,000 toxins in our environment that we know about, that are present in the air we breathe, the water, including the groundwater supply, and now the food we eat. For example, it has taken us decades to clean up after toxins like lead and asbestos, and those were known elements. So how are we prepared to deal with the side effects of GMOs? Well, I mentioned earlier about the Roundup herbicide and weeds. GMOs are impacting our environment because they are creating an explosion of super weeds, or weeds that have evolved resistance to glyphosate, which is a chemical used on the GM crops. And as a result, even more powerful insecticides must be applied to control the weeds, which ultimately contaminates the groundwater and kills many animals and plants that were not targeted by these toxic chemicals, but are nevertheless susceptible to them. You know, GMO foods are such an embedded part of our food system today, and most people think they are safe. Now, there was a time when GMO was not standard language in our daily existence. Back in 1935, and most of you were not born then, a Russian scientist was able to isolate pure DNA. 38 years later, in 1973, a graduate student at Stanford University came up with the idea for a man-made DNA, or called recombinant DNA, or rDNA for short, and biologists, they just ran with that. Matter of fact, 2 years later, 1975, a group of biologists got together with a few lawyers and doctors to create guidelines for the so-called safe use of genetically engineered DNA. Then in 1980, 5 years later, a court case between a genetic engineer and General Electric and the U.S. Patent Office was settled by a 5-4 vote, or 5-4 margin in the Supreme Court, actually allowing for the first patent on a living organism. The first patent on a living organism, 1980. Now, the GMO in question at that time was a bacterium with an appetite for crude oil. So it was basically ready to eat up, you know, oil spills if it was applied. 2 years later, 1982, the FDA approved Humulin, which was the first GMO, which is insulin produced by genetically engineered E. coli bacteria. Now, it took another 12 years, 1994, before GMO hit the grocery stores. That's where the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, approved the Flavor Saver tomato for sale on grocery store shelves. What's a Flavor Saver tomato? This delayed ripening tomato had a longer shelf life than conventional tomatoes. So that was... when you look at that, it was 1994. Now, 2 years later, in 1996, weeds resistant to glyphosate, the herbicide used with many GMO crops, was detected in Australia. And research showed that the superweeds were 11 times more resistant to glyphosate than the standard susceptible population. Now, the following year, 1 year later, 1997, the European Union ruled in favor of mandatory labeling on all GMO food products, including animal feed. That's in the European Union. Then 1999 rolls around into existence. What happens then? Well, this is where GMO food crops begin to dominate the landscape. When I say dominate, I mean over 100 million acres worldwide are planted with genetically engineered seeds. And just remember, there's wind going on that can blow these seeds everywhere. This also is when the marketplace begins embracing GMO technology at a fast rate. So in 2003, a BT toxin-resistant caterpillar cum moth named Helio coverpaw VA, weird name, but this caterpillar was found feasting on GMO BT cotton crops. So this caterpillar is eating GMO crops that have the glyphosate, which is supposed to kill it. And this was located in the southern United States. So in less than a decade, the bugs have adapted to the genetically engineered toxin produced by the modified plant. If that's not enough, 8 years later, after that, of us ingesting, 8 years of ingesting GMO products that we didn't know that were, you know, bad, research in eastern Quebec finds BT toxins in the blood of pregnant women and shows evidence that the toxin is passed to fetuses. In 2012, a French farmer sued Monsanto for chemical poisoning that he claims was caused by its pesticide Lasso, which is a part of the Roundup Ready line of products. This farmer won the case, which set a new precedent for future cases. So now Monsanto is setting money aside for these cases because they can stretch them out for indefinitely, really. Monsanto's patent on the Roundup Ready line of genetically engineered seeds ended last year. But they also introduced Roundup 2, with a new patent set to make the first generation seed just totally obsolete. So they get another 20 years on this patent. So GMO has been a slowly creeping threat for a while, but it has ramped up lately. And the true toxicity of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is becoming increasingly clear as study after study after study is published demonstrating its devastating effects. In June of 2013, 2 years ago, there was a research paper published detailing a newfound mechanism of harm for Roundup. Check this out now. This was immediately followed by tests showing that people, countries across Europe, have glyphosate in their bodies. There was another study revealing that this glyphosate chemical has estrogenic properties and drives breast cancer, of all things. It drives that the breast cancer proliferation in the parts, in what they call parts per trillion range. Now, that's a small amount. This finding might help explain why rats fed Monsanto's corn or maize develop massive breast tumors. And there are other studies demonstrating glyphosate's toxicity to cells, to your cells, to aquatic life, which you end up eating, and food animals and humans. Another study published in the journal Toxicology revealed that inert ingredients, these ingredients that shouldn't bother you, inert ingredients such as solvents, preservatives, surfactants, and other added substances are anything but inactive. This study found that the liver, embryonic cells and placental cells, these parental cell lines exposed to various herbicides or even various herbicide formulations for 24 hours in low doses had adverse effects. This is in low doses. And the most disturbing of all, these researchers claim that cell damage and even cell death can occur at residual levels found on Roundup treated crops as well as lawns, gardens, where Roundup is applied for weed control. So this is in cities, so you have to be near a farm. They also suspected that Roundup might cause pregnancy problems by interfering with hormone production, possibly leading to abnormal fetal development, low birth weights, or even miscarriages. Okay, so you might be saying, hey, I don't live in an agricultural area where I might be exposed to Roundup directly. That's a valid point. But even if you don't live in an area, an agricultural area where you might be exposed to Roundup directly, you are still getting this Roundup or this glyphosate through your diet. If you are eating non-organic foods, if you're eating non-organic foods, you're going to get Roundup in your body. So basically, if you're going to the grocery store, if you're going up and down the aisles, packaged, you know, like packaged foods, processed foods, you're getting Roundup. Let's take one food, corn. Genetically modified corn, for example, contains 13 parts per million of glyphosate compared to zero in non-GM corn. So you are getting the pesticide glyphosate from Roundup every time you eat non-organic corn on the cob. Corn, cornbread, corn flakes, corn tortillas, corn muffins, corn syrup, corn dogs, corn starch, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's in just about everything, literally. Matter of fact, a lot of you probably can go to your cabinet and your refrigerator right now and start looking at the ingredients, and you're going to find one or multiple ingredients that are genetically modified that they don't have to list as genetically modified. So let me see if I can kind of put this in some perspective for you. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, their standard for glyphosate in America, just their American water supplies, is 0.7 parts per million. In Europe, the maximum allowable level in water is 0.2 parts per million. So 0.7, and then in Europe, they're even more stringent, 0.2 parts per million. Now, organ damage in animals has occurred as low as 0.1 parts per million. This is an animal. And as I mentioned before, the liver, embryonic, and placental cells were adversely affected at doses as low as 1 part per million. The fact that genetically modified corn can contain as much as 13 parts per million of glyphosate alone has major implications for Americans who eat an average of 193 pounds of genetically engineered food each year. So if you want to get the significance of this, go to a hospital, a county hospital, and just go sit in the waiting area. A lot of those people, you know, the ones that are not there for broken bones and you know, cuts and things like that, they're there because they have a chronic ailment for whatever reason. You can trace a lot of it back to what they eat. Like obesity, you can trace it back to what people are eating. Paramount that you really get these numbers, because if the level is set at 0.1 and the food has 1 part per million already, I mean, you're already over the guideline, way over the guideline. And most people don't even know that they're eating a food that can be injurious to their health. Another study suggests that glyphosate may actually be the most important factor in the development of a wide variety of chronic diseases, because your gut bacteria is a key component of the glyphosate mechanism of harm. Your gut, key component. You see, Monsanto has steadfastly claimed that Roundup is harmless to animals and humans because the mechanism of action that it uses, which allows it to kill the weeds, called the shikimate, S-H-I-K-I-M-A-T, I believe, shikimate pathway, is absent in all animals. So if the pathway is not in the animal or the human, then they shouldn't get have an adverse effect to, you know, smelling or ingesting or touching glyphosate or the Roundup Ready. However, this shikimate pathway is present in bacteria, and that's the key to understanding how it causes such widespread systemic harm in both humans and animals. So you can see how the science is really, because, you know, most of us don't like science or math, and a lot of this is shrouded in this, they have this covering of the science and the math. You see, And the reason why I say that is because the bacteria in your body outnumbers your cells by 10 to 1. You have approximately 60 to 100 trillion cells, depending on what book you read. Some books say 600 trillion cells. So for every cell that you have that makes up your tissue and your organ system makes you up, there are 10 bacteria, 10 times. So for every cell in your body, you have 10 microbes of various kinds, and all of them have this shikimate pathway. So they will all respond to the presence of glyphosate, times 10. Glyphosate causes extreme disruptions of the microbes the bacteria's function and the life cycle. So what's worse is that glyphosate prefers beneficial bacteria, allowing pathogens to overgrow and take over. At this point, your body also has to contend with the toxins produced by the pathogens. I know it's a lot of science there, but that's why gut bacteria, it's being killed every day that you walk down a tree-lined street or grass, and you know, because people spray the bugs, the roaches, or what have you with the Roundup Ready, which has glyphosate, not to mention the farms that they're aerial spraying. So once the chronic inflammation sets in, you're on your way toward chronic and potentially a debilitating disease. So what can you do? The answer, of course, is to avoid processed foods of all kinds. This is probably going to turn some of you off. Don't turn the program off. But the answer is to avoid processed foods of all kinds because they are virtually guaranteed to contain genetically engineered ingredients. You should center your diet around whole organic foods since toxic pesticides are not permitted in organic farming. Also, supporting GMO labeling is also important if you value your health, and that not only your health, but that of your family and friends, in order to be able to make informed shopping decisions. Remember, GMOs are a product of genetic engineering, meaning their genetic makeup has been altered to induce a variety of unique traits to the crop, such as making them drought-resistant or giving them more nutrients, which is a positive thing. I mean, the word, but you know, hang on, just hold out here with me for a moment. Proponents of GMOs, they claim that genetic engineering is safe and beneficial and that it advances the agricultural industry. They also say that GMOs help ensure the global food supply and sustainability. But in reality, GMOs pose one of the greatest threats to life on this planet. Genetic engineering is not safe and beneficial technology that is touted to be. Even the World Health Organization had their research team test glyphosate, and they've labeled it a probable carcinogen. So they're serious about this. This is worldwide. So let me summarize all of this. Genetically modified crops and foods are promoted on the basis of a range of far-reaching claims from the industry and its supporters. They say that GM crops, genetically modified, genetically engineered, genetically modified organisms, these crops are an extension of natural breeding and do not pose different risks from natural breeding crops. They say that they are safe to eat and they can be more nutritious than naturally bred crops. They say that they are strictly regulated for safety. They say that, you know, GM crops increase yields, reduce pesticide use, and benefit farmers and make their lives easier. They say that GM crops, genetically engineered crops, bring economic benefits to the environment, and it helps solve problems caused by, of all things, climate change. And then they also say, if that's not enough, it says that GM crops reduce energy use, and it also will help feed the world. However, a large and growing body of scientific and other authoritative evidence shows that these claims are not true. They are not true. On the contrary, evidence presented indicates that genetically modified crops are laboratory-made, using technology that is totally different from natural breeding methods, and they pose different risks from non-GMO crops. They can be toxic, allergenic, or less nutritious than their natural counterparts. That's why a lot of people have these allergies, and they can't get rid of them because you have a chemical that you're dealing with that needs to be flushed out of your system, and it can't be flushed out with a pill or two in a week. GM crops are not adequately regulated to ensure safety, as they say they are. They do not increase yield potential. They do not reduce pesticide use, but they actually increase it. GM crops create serious problems for farmers, including herbicide-tolerant superweeds, compromised soil quality, and increased disease susceptibility in the crop. GM crops have mixed economic effects and disrupt markets. They harm the soil quality, disrupt ecosystems, and reduce biodiversity. And they do not offer effective solutions to climate change. So GM crops are as energy hungry as any other chemically farmed crop. And GMs cannot solve the problems of world hunger, but detracts from the real causes, which is poverty, lack of access to food, and the increasing lack of access to land to grow it on. Basically, there is no need to take risks with GMO crops. Actually, when we have effective, readily available, and sustainable solutions to the problem that GMO technology is claimed to address, it already exists. So what is needed is not just high-yielding, climate-ready, and disease-resistant crops, but productive, climate-ready, and disease-resistant agriculture. So here are the top 10 reasons, or 10, not reasons, but here are the top 10 GMO foods. Corn, soy, canola oil, cottonseed oil. I mean, that right there is like all the chips that are in a bag, you can't eat them anymore. I was so upset when I found this out. This is amazing. Then sugar beets. A lot of us think that all of the sugar, it says sugar. When they just say the word sugar, S-U-G-A-R, or sukar, it's coming from, cane sugar. But it's not. It's got to say cane sugar or evaporated cane sugar. Zucchini, which I love zucchini. Can't get that. It's got to be, zucchini. Yellow squash, papaya, aspartame. Matter of fact, when you go to a restaurant, pink package, the yellow packets and the blue packets. Just don't even mess with those. You notice those little packets? You never take one. You always take two because you want to hear that. When you just leave that alone. And another, the number 10 GMO food is grain-fed or grain-finished meat and farm-raised fish, because they're feeding fish alfalfa, corn, and soy. Actually, fish don't even eat those, but it's GMO. So how do you avoid them? You think there's a long list to avoid them? Buying the organic versions, organic, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Look for non-GMO verified project stamp. Download the non-GMO shopping guide from www.non-GMO-shoppingguide.com. That's and also for meat buying, buy organic and grass-fed. It has to be organic and grass-fed. Matter of fact, you can go to wiserliving.com and look up. I think it's on the right hand side of the page. U.S. Wellness Meats. Go there and check that out. They have a lot of information that will help you a lot. So be sure to check out articles. There's articles, recipes, products, ferments at wiserliving.com. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving. Follow us on Twitter. Connect with us on Google+, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And we welcome your comments and questions as always. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.